This is True North Story, the original podcast series. Learn, love, listen, live. Are you ready to discover your True North Story with your hosts, Tama Fulton and John Hudson Messerol?
Hey, I can't find nothing on the radio. Y'all turn to that station.
Greg, how do you pronounce your last name? I don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah, all good. It's just Rowlett.
So, Greg, obviously, media is like your thing, and it jazzes you, and it's what you want to do. And a little bit of reading that I did about you was you started out wanting to do music. So tell us about that.
In high school, when I was 17, my senior year of high school, I was in a program, I think it was called WISE. Now I don't remember my high school years as good as I should. But it was a program called WISE, and they let me out of school at noon every single day. So while everybody else had to go to, like, you know, fifth period to seventh period, I got out for a senior project, and I started a record label because I wanted to be like Master P from No Limit Records, if anybody remembers No Limit Records. And so I wanted to be like Master P because this guy, no one wanted to give him distribution. No one wanted to put his songs on the radio. No one wanted to record his stuff. So he's like, yo, I'll just do it myself. And guess what? As soon as I do it for myself, I'm going to sign all of my homies in my block, you know, to my record label. And I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. So I worked as a waiter and a barback type person in high school. And I used all that money, funded my own album, recorded the album, pressed it up myself. We went and sold a couple thousand copies my senior year of high school. Spent the next 7-8 years on the road, played everywhere from Madison Square Garden in New York City down to the Knitting Factory on Hollywood Boulevard. Way less glamorous than it sounds. Most of the time we were just going to truck stops and using the hot water at the truck stops to boil some ramen noodles. But it was it's an incredible thing. And I love musicians. So the majority of my staff are former musicians. What happens is people are really talented in the music industry. It's a 1 in a million shot, right? So like Taylor Swift is 1 in a million. There's a million people who sing just as good as Taylor. She worked really hard. She had some lucky breaks. She was the right place at the right time. It's no substitute for hard work, but sometimes in the music business, you can be talented and it just doesn't work out. That's just how it goes. But these musicians are so ambitious. They are so hardworking. They know how to get things done. I love the guy who just said, you know, I couldn't afford to go into a recording studio, so I figured it out myself. And those are the best kind of employees, right? They just need to know direction. They just figure it out. They use Google. They use YouTube. Because again, no one, as a white rapper, like, no one wanted to book me at their bar. That's the last thing they want. On Friday night, we're going to bring in this white rapper. Yeah, he's going to sell a lot of beer for us, you know, tonight. So, you know, having these
Vanilla Ice Part 2. For those who don't know who Vanilla Ice is, I maybe dated myself there.
It's all right. He's a home builder now, and he's got his own show on a network, so Greg probably knows.
He's a reality star now. Okay. All right.
Oh, he is, and he's like a mega, like, real estate guy in West Palm. I was doing a live class earlier this week with Dana Malstaff. She has like the Boss Mom community, and she had a whole section on collaboration. And every time like it said collaborate on the screen, I was like, stop, collaborate and listen.
And then you got it. All of that off of one song, Greg. Think about that. That's what records could do back in the day. Today, it's like, what? One download? Like, I couldn't make any money, like, off of one track, you know? 99 cents, $1.29, whatever. Like, no. That's when people had to pay the full Monty to get one song on a CD or an album or cassette or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, you built quite an empire off of one song. That's pretty amazing.
Word to your mother.
Yes. Was this something you always knew that you wanted to do? I mean, you talked about high school and leaving at noon. You seemed like a really ambitious young man. Where was this passion and drive for this coming from, Greg? I mean, when did you identify it and know it? Your True North story, all the influences that make you who you are to seek out and do what you want to do. Tell us a little bit about how that all came to be.
Yeah, I think always, even 5 years old, 7 years old, at that time it was sports, right? So I had, you know, posters of Ken Griffey Jr. on the wall and Frank Thomas and Bo Jackson and these athletes. And I always just saw these people at the top of their game. Then it turned into, in high school, I mentioned like kind of the hip hop scene. And I liken the hip hop game in the late 90s, early 2000s to the entrepreneurial game now, right? So in the 90s, you had, you know, Russell Simmons and Def Jam. You had Puff Daddy or P. Diddy or whatever you want to call them, and Bad Boy Records. You had, you know, Dr. Dre over there with Death Row and Interscope, and you had all these like hip-hop moguls who really, in those days, that was the Evan Spiegels, that was the Mark Zuckerbergs, that was, you know, the Calcanises, that was the cool kids in the late 90s were these hip-hop moguls. They were everywhere. And so I think I was always looking at the people at the top of their game and doing what Tony Robbins, I learned later, I didn't know I was doing it at the time, is modeling them. Is that, you know, when you have these people, these aspirational people, doesn't mean you have to do the same exact thing that they did, but they've led some type of a roadmap. And so I joked about the Master P thing, but really, like, obviously I didn't want to be Master P. I didn't want to be from, you know, the Third Ward in New Orleans and gangbanging and all that stuff. But from a business standpoint, I was like, man, here's what this guy does. What if I reverse engineer that and do that in my own world? Now, you know, I know that as modeling, but I didn't know that I was doing that at the time. I was just like, man, this guy seems like he's got a pretty good life. He's making some money. He's, you know, popular. You know, people are buying his stuff. I'm like, that's pretty cool. I kind of want that. So I didn't grow. I don't have that, like, rags to riches, like, couldn't eat. You know, I played Little League. My parents did what they could. I was middle class America. Wasn't extravagant, you know, but I wasn't dirt poor. So I don't have that kind of rags to riches story. But I always saw that I could do more. And I think my dad and my mom, just through sports, they were all just like, you know, encouraging me to go that extra mile. Like, why don't you play traveling? Why don't you go play All-Stars? Why don't you go, you know, to this camp? Why don't you keep trying to improve yourself? And I think that it was always just that model, that mission that you can do more. And if you excel at things, you should try to take it to the next level. Why be complacent and just play Little League when you can go, you know, travel the world? I mean, I got to travel, you know, all over the state of Florida when I was 10, 11, 12 years old. And, you know, you don't know the world is very big at that time. You know, you're like, cool, I'm driving 3 hours to play a baseball game. And so I got to see part of the world because of that. And so now the business today, I mean, I see entrepreneurship and the businesses that we're talking about, from Ambitious to the TV show Ambitious Adventures, to all that, is an opportunity just to see the world, to keep getting better, to keep improving. I think that's the goal for me, is just to leave it all on the line, to keep going, to keep doing. And now that I have two little rascals of my own, I got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I want to unlock the world for them and show them that the world is, they can do whatever they want if they want to. They don't have to, but the world is there for the taking, and you can keep improving. You can keep getting better. You don't have to stay where you are. And so that, I guess, I don't know if that completely answered the question, but a little rant there, but that you can go and take it. And that's really what I've done. Like, no one's given me the opportunity. I've gone and I've taken it. We joked about the travel show. Like, no one is coming to Orlando, Florida, knocking on my door and saying, hey, Greg, we want you to host a travel show. But it's something I wanted to do. So I was like, okay, let's go do it. Found a way to finance it. I found some partners, called my way into a couple of reality show writers. They're writing the script for me. And we're just doing the show ourselves. And I think most people, they see these things like that they want them, but they don't realize that they can just go out and do it themselves. The technology is there. The people are there. The resources are there. There's other people that want to help them on their mission. And that's what I've always done. I don't know how to run a TV show. So I found cool people that could do it. I call people on the phone. I make the world my own reality, if you will.
I know you've written a book, Become Interested in Business. You say following up is the key to success. Do most people just try something once and let it drop and don't continue?
Oh, 100%. I think there's a lot of things in that. One is no one ever follows up, right? No one takes the time to say, hey, thank you. No one takes the time to say, hey, we met at this. I mean, think about any event you've ever gone to and you got a pile of business cards. How many of those did you act upon, right? If you got 10 business cards, did you go out and call those 10 people back? If you gave away 10 of your business cards, did you get 10 calls back? I mean, and the answer obviously is no. It just doesn't happen. Even the best networkers in the world aren't doing that. And so I think there's no follow-up. But I think the bigger thing here that you alluded to right towards the end is people are, A, afraid to put themselves out there because they're afraid that failure is going to happen, right? Failure is inevitable. It's going to happen. Now, we don't set out to fail. We set out to succeed. But things happen, and we kind of learn from them. So people are scared to start a radio show or podcast like you guys are doing because they're scared that, well, what if no one listens? Well, then no one listens. Like, so what? You know, nobody listened. They're scared to, you know, shoot a video and put it on YouTube because what if someone says that I look funny? Well, I've never gotten that comment ever that someone says, man, you looked funny. Why did you wear that T-shirt in that video, right? It's never happened, like, in the history of shooting videos. So they're scared of what's on the other side of fear. And so they don't put themselves out there. They don't do things. And they don't give themselves a long enough runway in order to take off and lift off. And from your own show here, you know, we're talking about it. I'm sure that, you know, the episodes that you're doing now are probably better than the episodes you did when you first started. And they're continuing to get better. And your guests continue to get better. And the marketing of your podcast gets better. And that's only because you've done more than one episode. And you keep doing it. And you keep refining it. And you keep making it better. And most people don't ever give themselves that shot. They shoot one video and they say, oh, no one watched it. This is a lost cause. They put one episode of a podcast up and they go, oh, that didn't work out so well. I'm not going to do that again. They try to build an email list and they run one Facebook ad and, oh, I wasted $20. I guess this is a failed business. Like $20 on Facebook and you have a failed business? And I think that they really have this fear of, oh, it didn't work. Well, yeah, you did one episode. Like, what do you, Gary Vee, someone obviously I pay attention to, don't agree with everything that he says. He's someone I do pay attention to, and he recently put out a video that had all, I think it was 300 episodes of Wine Library TV. Maybe it was 1,000 episodes, whatever. Doesn't matter. But what point is, go watch episode one of Wine Library TV. Go watch episode two. He shot them with a flip camera in the basement of his wine shop with no lighting, no nothing. But imagine if he never did episode two, if he didn't do episode three. He wouldn't have a $100 million VaynerMedia agency right now. And it all started with those first episodes. And I think we compare ourselves to where people are. We see Tony Robbins running, you know, a $1.5 billion empire and organization. And we go, oh, I only made $100 today, so this isn't worth doing it. They see someone who has a podcast with 500 episodes. They say, well, I'll never get there. Well, that same person started with one episode. We joke around. We just did a product, and it was all about sales and humble beginnings. And Microsoft started by selling their first computer before they sold billions of computers. They made Microsoft version 1 before they have whatever they have now. I'm not a Microsoft user, but XP or Windows 10 right. or whatever it is. They had their first version. And so you have to be willing to just put yourselves out there, get that feedback, learn from failure, but continue on. I say consistency and constancy are the two biggest factors to success. So consistency, consistently doing things. If you have an email list, consistently send the email. And then constancy is how often are you in front of your market. So many times people will only put things out once a month, once a quarter. They have an annual thing. Well, do you know how many things happen in a given day? Nonetheless, a week or a quarter or a year? So you have to, if you want attention from your marketplace, you need to constantly be in front of them. I always say, what would Ryan do? What would Ryan Seacrest do? Well, guess what? The guy's on radio 6 days a week, 5 hours a day. He's on Idol. Idol's gone now, but he was on Idol 2-3 nights a week. He's on E! News. He's hosting red carpets. He does the New Year's Eve ball. He's got his clothes. And like, he is everywhere, so it's constancy. So everywhere you turn, if you're in that world, you see Ryan Seacrest. In the financial world, it's Dave Ramsey. He's on the radio 5 days a week for 3 hours a day. That's 15 hours a week. You could be listening to Dave Ramsey. You could be reading his books. You could be buying his products. You could be on his mailing list. He's got two different podcasts. And so if you really want success, consistency and constancy.
Tell us about your TV show. And you're taking this thing on the road. You're doing your own reality show.
So earlier this year in January, I was down in the Dominican Republic. We're filming a documentary on an organization called Esperanza, which helps female entrepreneurs. They do microloans. So $25 loans, $100 loans. And to us, we think like, well, what could you do with $100? Well, in the Dominican Republic and Haiti and some of these third world countries, $100 goes a long way. And so we went down there to film a documentary on the organization. One of the nights I was having a little too much adult cocktails at the bar, and I started talking to our film crew, it's an Emmy Award-winning film crew. And I was like, hey, I have this random idea. I want to go host my own reality show, travel show. And you know how, you know, all these travel guys go out there and all they do is they go to the barbecue place. You get Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives, and you got Guy Ferrari, and you got pretty much every travel show is a food show. And I was like, that's cool and all, but what if we go and we saw the world through young entrepreneurs, through people who are starting businesses, who are hiring people, who are using local vendors, just building and stimulating the local economy. And they're taking risks at a young age to do it. And they were like, well, that sounds cool. I have no idea if it's going to be any good or not, but why don't you go and shoot a pilot? So that was January. I kind of thought about it. In March, I went and took my own money and went over to St. Petersburg, Florida, and filmed, I guess, what would be considered the pilot episode. It was really just proof of concept for us. I took three film guys, and we shot the entire episode in one day, from 6 a.m. to about 10 p.m., nonstop, passed out on the floor by the end of shooting this. And we found three young entrepreneurs who had revitalized downtown St. Petersburg right on Central Avenue and are responsible, not just them, but by building this downtown area back up for about $1 billion in economic development. So parking garages to shopping centers to Whole Foods and all this stuff coming into the area. all because these young entrepreneurs, small businesses, took risks and opened up their fashion boutique. And there's a yarn store that has like a line like 200 people deep on a Saturday. Yarn, freaking yarn, downtown. you know, there's a brewery, Green Bench Brewery, amazing company. This guy started three like Mexican restaurants, kind of a fast food, kind of a mid-tier, and then in a high-end Mexican restaurant. And they're all, you know, under the age of 35, and they started these businesses, and it was just fantastic. So we shot the pilot. It was cool. I went, and another guest that you had on the podcast, Brandon T. Adam, who does crowdfunding, was hosting an event in Des Moines, Iowa, of all places. Like, who thought that you could bring people to Des Moines, Iowa for a conference? And I was surely one of the skeptical ones. And went out there, and I spoke at his event to a few hundred entrepreneurs. It was awesome. And Brandon and I had some adult cocktails. This is kind of a reoccurring theme here. so if you want to be successful, have some adult cocktails and have some world-changing conversations.
It's called networking, Greg.
That's where the best networking happens, right? And so he and I start talking. I tell him I have this pilot concept for young entrepreneurs. I don't know what to do with it. I'm talking to a couple networks, a couple production companies. It's not really going anywhere. I can't afford to do a full season. Like, I don't have that deep of pockets to just, and then I, you know, leaving the family and leaving the business for a few days at a time. And he goes, dude, why don't we just crowdfund it? And I was like, well, that's, in theory, that sounds great, but I don't know anything about crowdfunding. So we kind of became partners, and basically I said, well, how about instead of me paying you, because, you know, I like to barter, I said, why don't I just make you a co-host and on the show, and we can travel the world together, and you guys run the Kickstarter campaign for me. 30 days later, we were up running the Kickstarter campaign. 30 days later, we closed it out at $52,000. The goal was 50, so we hit the goal, which is awesome. And we have five cities that we are starting to go to. We are already gone to Des Moines, Iowa, which was absolutely fantastic. We milked some cows and went on some Ferris wheels and ran through cornfields. And we also met with some young entrepreneurs. And then we're heading to LA in a couple weeks for a personality-driven episode. We are going to La Crosse, Wisconsin. Who knew that there were entrepreneurs in La Crosse, Wisconsin? But I think that's the whole beauty of the show, is that we're showing that in the heart of the country, in Des Moines, Iowa, La Crosse, Wisconsin, obviously Los Angeles, St. Petersburg, Florida, Boca Raton, Florida, is our other episode. It doesn't matter where you are. There's young people taking risks and doing these cool things. And that's what we really wanted to highlight. It's not a drama-filled show. It's not a, you know, at the end we pick one business. We just want to show people that there's other people like you doing cool things. And maybe it inspires you. Maybe it motivates you. Maybe it makes you angry about where you are in life. And then hopefully you make it back to ambitious.com, where you can join one of our classes, watch from one of our experts, so that you can do it too. And the response has been fantastic. It's actually already, you know, we've been in more media outlets than I can even count at this point, who have covered the show and interviewing us, talking to us about it. So already from a PR side, it's a total success. And it also landed me on a national morning show called the Studio D Show that films out of Miami. I'm doing a weekly segment about the show there. And they've also agreed to air all the episodes in February of next year. So they're actually going to take 30 minutes of their 2-hour morning show and dedicate it to us. For however many episodes that we have. And we're still looking for distribution deals, things like that. But like I said earlier, if I had waited for, you know, Travel Channel, or if I had waited for, you know, Esquire Network or whatever it was to come to me, I'd still be waiting. But we took it into our own hands. Now, if we get distribution, great. If we don't, we're still making it happen and having the time of our lives while we're doing it.
True North Story, meant to inspire, encourage, motivate, and offer hope. And now, back to the program.
That's quite a journey that y'all are on. And I wanted to just ask too, Greg, you talked about collaboration and the networking part. And how do you think social media plays a role in that, good and bad? Because I see less interpersonal. You think about people sitting at a hotel bar or in a conference type setting, and they would pass business cards and they would talk to one another, and you would build your personal professional network. And I'm not sure so much of that happens today with media. It's like, oh, okay, are you on Facebook? Let me follow you on Twitter. How does that play a role in building out that network that you alluded to earlier is so important to being able to make these dreams reality?
So I love social, right? I am not as cool as like the Snapchat kids and, you know, knowing all that stuff. But I see it for me, it is not a substitute for in-person stuff. The best ventures that have really moved an actual needle in the business have all come offline. Now, do you use online to expedite offline? Meaning like, hey guys, I see you're going to be at this event in a couple weeks. Would love to meet up. Hey guys, saw that you're in our area. Would you love to meet? So can you use online to get people offline?
It's
definitely
a tool.
A tool.
Greg, right?
Nothing replaces me having a beer with Brandon in Des Moines after his event where we shared an experience. We shared a bond, if you will, whatever corny term you want to call it. But nothing will replace that because now there's a real memory link to it, right? So in a quick story to illustrate that. So it was Brandon's event in Des Moines, Iowa. Again, it's Des Moines, Iowa. I'm from Florida, so I'm used to fast-paced life, all this stuff. I'm not used to cornfields and cows and whatever else is in Des Moines, Iowa. And I'm there with John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneurs on Fire. Jenna Atkinson has an incredible business helping female entrepreneurs. And Brandon, and we got in an Uber, and we went to a drive-through adult beverage store, so a drive-through liquor store, in an Uber. And the guy comes out, and he's got, like, teardrop tattoos on his eyes and, like, just, like, a Mike Tyson tattoo on his face. And the four of us are just, like, scared out of our mind. And we're just like, can we love a bottle of Patron? And he says, do you want a fifth? And we all look at ourselves like, we don't really know what that means. Like, we've heard it in hip-hop songs before, but we don't really know. And so we had this shared experience. Now, obviously, we made it out alive, and we had a great time. But we have this shared experience that now every time I see the four of them, or the four of us get together, we're going to joke about that. We're going to kid about it. You cannot have that same experience online. It just will not happen. And now if I need a favor from John or Brandon or Jenna, they're a text message away. They're a call away. They're going to, you know, they instantly know who I am. As opposed to, hey, I retweeted something from you once, or, hey, I followed you on Facebook and I comment on your stuff every once in a while. So I don't think that you can use online as a substitute, but it is a darn good research tool. It's a good keeping up together tool. It's, you know, the good reminder stuff. But I think people have to get offline. Now, with that, I am which seems really weird because I talk 100 miles an hour, as you guys can hear, and I host shows and I do all these cool things. I am very introverted. I am very awkward in social situations. So if you'll notice, one of my, I don't know if you call it defense mechanism or one of my ways that I deal with that is I do have adult cocktails. And I'm a big believer of if I buy somebody a drink at a conference, they're going to like me because who doesn't like the guy that buys drinks at the conference? And so that is one of the mechanisms that I use to kind of get over my fear of talking about the weather in Des Moines, Iowa, is kind of using that as a mechanism. The other thing that I do, and because I think there's probably a lot of introverts listening, being like, God, Greg, online's awesome because I don't have to talk to people. I could just shoot them a message. And so the other thing that I do is I either sponsor events or I try to speak at as many events as I can. By speaking at the events, you're at the front of the stage. You get to share your advice, your expertise, your information, and then people come up to you, which makes things so much easier. I mean, we've all been at the conference where there's the cool kids club and they're in a circle. It's a networking thing. And you try to go break into their circle and it's super awkward. And you don't know what to say. Like that scares me, scares me to death. My heart races, I don't ever want to be that guy. So by buying the drinks, by speaking at events, those have been kind of my two workarounds to get people to approach me so we can have kind of a more genuine conversation and it's not super awkward. I know there's a lot of people who are just like, Greg, what you just described sounds super hard for me. That's kind of how I get over it.
So, Greg, how do you position yourself? You're introverted and quiet, and I think a lot of people who are creative are that way. They perform best when they're the person on stage, but don't talk to me when I'm off the stage because I'm a little fearful of that. How do you position yourself to be the guy with the answers, the guy who's the authority, the guy who you want to hear what they have to say when you're that quiet guy when you're off the stage?
So I think media is the ultimate multiplier. And we've been talking about that a lot today, but the guy who hosts his own TV show is someone who is now approachable and you want to talk to that guy. I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, I do get, you know, two dozen emails every day from people saying like, hey, I want to be on your show or how can I contribute or how can I do something? So I think, and it doesn't have to be your own TV show, right? Because that's obviously the extreme end of what we're talking about. But if you have a podcast, well, guess what? You guys got to talk to me today, right? So you get to say, I would have never known Greg. I never would have got to talk to him. But because I have a podcast and he would love to talk on our podcast, now we have that relationship. So by you using media and creating media, it gives you power. It gives you a voice. It gives you position. Now, the media could be anything from a blog to an email newsletter to a print newsletter to a podcast to a video show to whatever medium that you want to use. I always say, pick the one that is the most natural for you. So there's so many, I mean, you can't go on the internet without someone saying, like, Snapchat's awesome, use Snapchat, buy my Snapchat course, you know, Instagram's awesome, videos are awesome, blogs are dead, don't go on blogs, you know, do audio podcasts. It doesn't matter. Good content is good content is good content. It's going to reach the audience. It's going to find the audience. And I always say that marketing should do one of two things, and media should do one of two things. It should attract the people that you want into your life, and it should repel everybody else, because you can't please everyone. So I love hardcore radio and conservative talk show people. It's not that I believe in what they're saying, but their marketing is the best on the planet. So I'm talking about the Glenn Becks, the Bill O'Reillys, the Susie Ormans, the Dave Ramseys. You know, these guys, they have very, very rough, tough, hardcore positions on a lot of things. It doesn't mean that you agree with them, but if you're listening to this, study them for a week. So Glenn Beck had one of the best quotes, and I'm going to misquote it, but you guys will get the point, is that he doesn't preach to the unconverted. He preaches to people who already have guns in their garage, who already have taken all their stocks and gotten rid of them and bought gold bullions. If someone is super pro-Obama, they love Obama more than life itself, Glenn Beck's never going to convert that guy. His goal is to get the guy who's already got guns and gold and all this stuff and to get him more riled up. And I think that's your goal with media, is you should get people more riled up. You should get them excited. Like, you know, for the person who, you know, says, I'm a desk job person, I'm climbing the corporate ladder, I want my gold watch, I'm not going to convert that guy. The guy that I'm going to convert is the one who's sitting at his desk right now and is listening to this podcast, and he's like, I know I was meant for more. Like, is this all that there is in life? Is this? And he's already questioning himself. I'm going to help bring that fire outside of him and be like, gosh darn it, I'm going to do something because I listen to Greg. I'm going to get more fired up. So twofold, A, use media, and use media to create your position. Good friend Sally Hogshead, who wrote an amazing book called How the World Sees You, New York Times bestselling author, good friend of mine here in Orlando. She says that you need opinions of authority. And so what she means by that is you need to believe so strongly in something that your followers think it is fact, when in fact it is just an opinion. So for me, I believe wholeheartedly that everyone needs a media platform. Now, there's other experts that say, don't worry about media. You don't need media. You know, do this or do that. If you listen to this podcast today, you would think that if you don't do media, you're a crazy person. That is an opinion, right? That is my opinion of how I think you should run your business, run your life. And so that is what Sally would call an opinion of authority. So what do you believe in so wholeheartedly that your followers take it as fact? So for Dave Ramsey, it's pay off your credit cards before you do anything else. Get out of debt. Other finance people say, keep putting stuff on credit cards and leverage yourself. I'm making this up, but Dave right. Ramsey believes so wholeheartedly that his followers think that that's the only thing you can do to get out of debt. They don't think that there's any other way to get out of debt other than to pay down your credit cards. And so he has built these foundational principles. So find the media that's going to work for you, audio, video, written. That's really the three. But if you hate yourself on camera, well, guess what? Don't do video. So what? Yeah, YouTube's huge, but guess what? So is podcasting. So are blogs. People say, like, blogs are dead. No, crappy blogs are dead. If you can't write, don't blog. You can't take a picture like me. Like, I suck at taking pictures. Instagram is not the best place for me. So I found my lane, and I encourage everybody listening to find your own lane, have your opinions of authority, and really attract the people you want in your life and repel everybody else. And you will create that position. You'll be able to overcome some of that introvertedness, and people will seek you out as their leader, as their guru, as their Buddha, as their expert, whatever, insert noun into the equation.
Because of that passion, because of that ambition, I'm thinking, I'm hearing that in you.
Just a little, right? Well, just a little.
Just a little.
Just a little. The takeaway there is what Tama and I are trying to do with True North Story in this whole podcast series is helping people think about how do they find their own True North through the guests that we put on the podcast, but just, you know, knowing the why behind your who. We always talk about that because that passion is such an impactful driving force in what you do with your life and the relationships you build and the success you have, just the overall impact you have. Tell us, so what's next for Greg? I mean, you've got this TV show in the works. You're heading out to L.A. You're going to have episodes coming up. What else do you have on the docket here?
A nap and a coffee. is what's coming up next. The cool thing about what we're doing is that, like, I have a grand master plan in my head, but I am the person who, when I see an opportunity, it's the right opportunity, I jump on it. So this TV show was a thought that barely came into my mind in January, and that wasn't even a thought. I truly believe in media, and I want to build one of the largest media networks for entrepreneurs because I believe in entrepreneurship for the right person. Now, I don't believe that everyone's right for entrepreneurship, but for those who are, I want to help them get there as fast as possible. And I think media is the best place to do that. From a positioning standpoint, I would love to position myself as the Ryan Seacrest of entrepreneurship, where I'm hosting my own shows, but I also have the production company where I'm going to go find the Kardashians. I'm going to go find the Shahs of Sunset Strip. I'm going to go host the big entrepreneur events like he does when he goes to the Grammys and the Emmys and the Oscars and all those things, but do that for entrepreneurs. And I'm going to do it through media. And I think there's a really huge opportunity right now for people to get into the media world. While, you know, you might say, well, yeah, there's a gajillion podcasts and there's a gajillion people on YouTube. Well, guess what? Media is changing so fast. One of the biggest kind of insights I'll give you to where I'm thinking right now is every single mobile carrier is about to be a media channel. And so what I mean by that is on the surface level, you don't think there's any difference between AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mo, whatever companies are out there. Most people just see it as which one can give me a cheaper bill. Well, the difference is that Verizon right now just started a channel called Go90, which is exclusive content from some of the top YouTubers, Vine stars, some of the big media companies like BuzzFeed and Vice, and they are buying content that is only being able to be seen by people on Verizon. So these mobile companies are paying millions, potentially into the billions of dollars for content that is only going to be streamed by Verizon users, by AT&T users. That's an opportunity that no one sees right now. No one that's creating podcasts is like, let me get my podcast so big that Verizon buys me. So my podcast is only heard on Verizon phone, and Verizon's going to pay me a ton of money. So I think that media is just a huge convergence. There's things like we're getting our TV show on Apple TV, on Roku, on Amazon Prime, on all these stations. My video guy, we joke with him, we kid with him. He doesn't own a TV. He gets all of his TV on his iPad or his computer, and he watches them all on Amazon Prime. So he has an Amazon Prime membership, and that's how he watches TV. And so there is a big changing of the guards coming, and I think there's a huge opportunity for people that are willing to put in the work to do that. And I think that's where I want to go, is I want to be on traditional TV, use traditional TV to push me to my own site, because I still think us owning our own customers, our own data, our own list, our own everything – gives us an advantage to go to advertisers, to go to brands, to go to Verizon and say, hey, guess what? We had, you know, 1.5 million people watch our last episode of Ambitious Adventures. Here's their demographics. Here's how long they watched the show for. Here's what they did when they watched commercials, because it's online, so they can click on stuff and they can. And I think that gives us all the power in the world to use traditional media to drive people to digital media, mobile media, app-driven media. That's where I want to play. It's kind of a different game than just, cool, I want to put up a YouTube show. We're thinking Peter Diamandis, an incredible book called Bold. I encourage everyone on the planet to read it. And it's all about how people really need to start thinking more boldly. I think a lot of people have good ideas. And there's nothing wrong with having a lifestyle business that brings in 100 grand a year, 200 grand a year, and it allows you to live your life. But we need people who are thinking in the terms of the way I'm thinking, which is, why don't we go and why don't we try to take over the world? And if we fail, we've probably still did a really good job. So that's kind of where my head's at is to the future of this whole thing.
Boy, that's really interesting. John and I just had this conversation about how even the traditional channels and even some of the bigger named cable networks, people are going to be, to your videographer's point, going to choose their own content because there is such a vast number of channels you can turn to and there is so much noise. You can actually pick and choose what you want to hear, what benefits you, and what you want to learn about.
People are not going on to the traditional TV, but even though, while that sounds bad, yes, TV is not going away. The 50-year-old with $1 million is still watching TV, right? He's still opening the mail. It is an interesting play, but while traditional media is shrinking, it's still a huge outlet for the people and the buyers with money. So I think a lot of the bad content is going to disappear and the good content will still rise. It always does. Like, you know, Netflix, they have some shows that are really good, some shows that are really bad. It's not just because it's on Netflix. It's still good content. So you still got to create good stuff.
If people want to reach out and get in touch with you, Greg, you know, learn more about Ambitious Adventures, how do they do that?
Yeah, we made it real simple. We paid a small fortune for ambitious.com last year. So they just go to ambitious.com. They can see all of our upcoming classes. I mean, we have some incredible world-class experts coming up on pretty much any topic. If people want to start a business, grow a business, or the part that really drives me is, which is live a more ambitious life. Because what's the point of growing that business if I can't run away from my kids while being on a podcast interview? So you have to live an ambitious life. So ambitious.com. And then I'm Greg Rolette everywhere on the Facebooks, the Instagrams, all that stuff, they can find me there.
Well, Greg, thank you so much for being on True North Story. Thanks for sharing all of your passion and ambition with us. All the best.
We love it. Thank you guys so much for allowing me to be on here and talk really fast for a few minutes. Thank you guys.
Thank you for listening to True North Story, the series. Follow us on Twitter at True North Story and tune in next time for another True North Story. I don't want to.